What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. Coming to you January the 2nd, 2026. So happy New Year to everybody. Hope everybody was safe and enjoyed their New Year's Eve. And, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a baseball sicko, which I am as well, and we can all appreciate that. Now that we've gotten past, like, the Thanksgiving, Christmas time, and we're into January, we're into February, it feels like, you know, the dog days of winter, you could say. And this is where I just start dying for baseball. Like, I start getting ready for spring training. I know it's still a couple of months away, but I am just looking forward to the grind of 162 games throughout a summer again and turning on the TV every night and being able to watch Phillies. And again, if you listen to this podcast, you probably feel the same way. So we're officially at the point, we're past the holidays, and just get me to baseball season. I know we got an Eagles playoff run to go here, and we're all very excited for that. And look, it's still going to be a very exciting January, potentially, in the city of Philadelphia. And the Sixers and Flyers playing a little better as well. But as you all pretty much know, I'm always dying for baseball. And it just feels like we're officially getting to the time where I'm ready for 162 again. I'm ready to watch spring training games and, you know, on 1 o'clock on a Tuesday while I'm working, stuff like that. So I'm very much looking forward to baseball season. It feels like I've been watching a lot of highlights, a lot of that type of stuff on YouTube lately, and I'm just itching to get back towards baseball season here. But we still got a little bit of time to go. Unfortunately, Dave Dombrowski did not listen to the last time I spoke on the podcast, and I asked him just to make a little move so we get something kind of exciting to talk about here. So, but don't have too much, unfortunately, because it feels like not just Dave Dombrowski, but the general managers and president of baseball operations, you know, personnel around baseball have kind of gone quiet this offseason. It feels like after that first wave where you had Schwarber, you had Diaz, you had Pete Alonso, you had a bunch of big-name free agents around the winter meetings sort of signing with different teams, and it made for some exciting, you know, theater, it really has slowed down a little bit. And there's still a lot of guys out there and definitely some moves that could be made. But I want to sort of start here by discussing what the market quieting down sort of means for the Phillies. And I want to, it's funny because I'm always dying for moves, as you all typically know. And as baseball fans, you're always sort of interested to see where the pieces fall in place and who ends up going where in the offseason, what sort of surprises happen. But I'm starting to get the sense that the market slowing down could actually be a good thing for the Phillies. And I saw on Threads the other night that Jeff Passan, obviously ESPN baseball reporter, one of the best reporters in the business, was asked a question about the Phillies from a fan. He actually responded, and the fan Sam.Zeff on Threads asked Jeff Passan, what are the chances the Phillies add another big bat, either through trade or free agency, regardless of JT signing with them or not? And obviously, we know that since the last pod, nothing has really changed with the JT situation. It feels like sort of a standoff between the Phillies and JT, and that's sort of where it stands right now. But Jeff Passan responds to that and says, it's possible, but I don't know that they'd be at the top of the list right now for teams going out and paying retail on bats. We're at the point in the winter where players know spring training starts in less than 7 weeks and are starting to get a little twitchy. Prices change, and when prices change, so too do the teams involved. If the Phillies feel like they can pluck a player on the cheap, I don't think they would hesitate to do so, end quote. So I thought that was actually pretty interesting because I, and most of the people I'm sure who listen, are antsy. They want to get, you know, this thing figured out. They want to know what the team's going to look like in 2026. And you sort of want to see if, you know, are the Phillies running this back with Adolis Garcia replacing Nick Castellanos and signing Brad Keller and bringing back Schwarber and maybe JT? And is that going to be it? Or are there going to be real significant changes to the team? We don't know that answer yet. And I'm starting to get the feeling that the more and more this thing sort of stales out and, you know, big free agents aren't signing, that it actually could be a benefit to the Phillies based off that response. Because if you remember in the 21-22 offseason, and there was a lockout pending, don't forget, and the season ended up starting 2 weeks late, but ultimately they were able to get something done. So it only affected the offseason, not really the regular season. But the Phillies that offseason signed Kyle Schwarber and they signed Nick Castellanos for contracts that, if you were talking about what they would have gotten now, if, you know, they had the previous seasons last year in terms of if their 2021 season was in 2024 instead of, you know, the opposite, they would be getting way more than Kyle Schwarber getting 4 years, $79 million, and Nick Castellanos getting 5 years, $100 million. Like, people forget, Nick Castellanos was coming off an MVP caliber season in 2021, and the Phillies signed him for an AAV of $20 million. And at the time, I thought that was a great deal. And of course, you know, things didn't play out as we all expected with Nick Castellanos, and he will no longer be on the team next year. That I can say for certain. But Kyle Schwarber signing for 4 years, $79 million, like, that was an absolute steal. And now you're at the point in this offseason where we're into January, and like Passan said, like, this thing starts in about a month and a half. And if you could potentially wait this thing out and a guy like Bregman or a guy like Bo Bichette are on the market here and are still just sort of hanging around while the Phillies, you know, are still lurking in the distance, you know, if they can sign one of those guys for maybe under their or potential market value, like, that's where I could see the Phillies jumping in there. And ultimately, that leads me to believe that the more and more this thing sort of drags out, and maybe the more desperate these players become as spring training arrives and just wanting to sign with the team, that's where they could end up winning this thing. So I almost want this to continue to be stale in a way to where, as you know, as spring training grows nearer and nearer and these players sort of become like, look, we got to sign with the team. I want to be able to get comfortable with my new teammates. I want to get comfortable in the clubhouse before the year begins. Like, that is where the Phillies could swoop in and say, you know what, Alex Bregman, we're going to give you a short-term deal for, you know, obviously somewhat of a high AAV, and we're going to give you the opt-outs, but we want you in our lineup this year. That is where I think the Phillies could really take advantage of this. So I don't see this as necessarily a bad thing for the Phillies. As much as I'm impatient and want to see how all this drama sort of unfolds and where guys end up going and how the Phillies are going to end up shaking out here, I don't think that this is a bad thing for the Phillies. And you have three pretty marquee guys in free agency, Bo Bichette, Bregman, and Cody Bellinger, who could all be potential fits here. And as long as this keeps on stringing out and sort of is, you know, we're a waiting game essentially between a lot of these players and their agents and the clubs, I think that that could potentially be something for the Phillies that could be a benefit. Jeff Passan even said, if these guys sort of go under their market value, that's when I think the Phillies would swoop in. So don't know if that's sort of what people want to hear and if that's something that ultimately won't come true, but it's just a thought I had after I read that thread. And I thought that it reminded me of the 21-22 offseason a lot, where it felt like the Phillies were probably going to get one bat to add to what they already had, Bryce Harper coming off an MVP season there, but they end up getting Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos pretty late in the offseason. And again, that is where I think the Phillies could do something similar this year and potentially take advantage of a market that has slowed down as the offseason has gone on. So just some interesting thoughts there, I thought. I also think that if this continues to play out, I'd be very interested to see what happens to the more mid-level free agents as well, and that's where Harrison Bader would come into play. And I would still love to have him back because I really don't necessarily love how the outfield is shaping out as of right now. It feels like they want to give Justin Crawford a shot to be their opening day center fielder based off of what Dave Dombrowski and the Phillies have said this offseason, which I didn't necessarily expect when the season ended here. Like, I thought they were going to play him in left and they were going to try to bring back Bader and maybe bring back, you know, another outfielder potentially to platoon with Brandon Marsh. And our guy Rob Refsnyder, who we really liked as a right-handed bat, signed with Seattle. So that platoon potential is out of the question there. But I think that Harrison Bader is a guy that could potentially still come back. And like I mentioned with the big free agents before, if this thing continues to string out here, I wonder if he's willing to take a shorter-term deal, maybe with some higher AAV, and the Phillies could potentially take advantage of his market not being exactly what he thought either. So I think that Harrison Bader is still on the table for the Phillies, and I think it's something to where, as similar to the other guys, if this continues to play out, why wouldn't he want to come back to Philadelphia and try to maybe come back on a one-year deal at $15 million and see if he could potentially, you know, have a good year and raise his market for next season? So he is 32 or 33 years old, so that is the potential downside with that. But I do think that that's a possibility to where Harrison Bader could be back on a really short-term deal, and maybe next year he tries to cash in. Even though, I mean, he had a great year last year, so this was potentially the year to do that for him. But I don't know. It does seem like just a lot of these free agents right now. And even, you know, talk about Ranger Suarez. I've had a couple of people bring up Ranger Suarez to me lately. Like, I don't know what really is going on with Ranger Suarez's market right now. It feels like he's probably one of the best pitchers still available, especially with Tatsuya Imai signing with the Astros. If in case you missed that, he signed for 3 years, $54 million, but there is an opt-out every year. So it seems like he's taking a similar route that Munetaka Murakami did in terms of trying to build his value up in Major League Baseball. So, which is kind of weird because I don't really hear Houston Astros being brought up with him very much. It was a lot of Yankees. It was a lot of Mets. It was a lot of Padres, Seattle, but not a ton of Houston Astros. So I think he took probably the highest AAV he could get next year and wants to try to build up his value and potentially cash in on a free agency next year or the following year. So I thought that was an interesting play from him, but don't mind that too much because he is out of the National League and is not going to be somebody who you expect to see very often. So didn't have a huge problem with it, but again, it looks like the Phillies will be striking out on the Japanese market for another year, and I do wonder if the Phillies made an offer for Imai, but he does go to the Houston Astros. But back on Ranger Suarez for a second, he's another guy. Like, as long as this offseason continues to go the way that it is, like, I don't think Ranger Suarez is going to get $180 million over 5-6 years here. And I think it's going to be something that's a shorter-term deal like we just saw with Imai there. So I wouldn't be shocked to see Ranger potentially go for, I don't want to say a prove-it deal, but a deal to where he can have some opt-outs potentially and build up his value. But then again, if you look at the other side of it, he has had injury problems in the past, and that's probably a big reason why a lot of these teams are nervous to probably give him any sort of long-term deal. So maybe do the Phillies say at the we're getting towards the end of free agency and they don't get any of these big bats. Like, if Ranger wants a two-year deal with an opt-out after the first year, do they just give it to him and they increase their payroll a little bit if they bring back JT? I don't know, but I think that's a possibility that is, you know, there. And I do think there are plenty of teams that still want starting pitching, so that's probably why that won't happen. Like, the Mets need starting pitching. They have their, you know, young trio there, but I was a little surprised they weren't really on Imai more. And I'm a little surprised that the Yankees haven't done anything really pitching-wise either. And I know they get Gerrit Cole back at some point this year after his Tommy John surgery, but there are some teams out there that still really need starting pitching. And that's definitely not a spot where the Phillies, you know, need the depth as much because of Painter coming up and because they'll have Zach Wheeler back pretty shortly into the season there. But that's probably why I wasn't as annoyed that the Phillies didn't, it seems like, make a bigger push for Imai there. But I do think that as this offseason rolls along, Dave Dombrowski, Preston Mattingly, and the rest of this front office could take advantage of some potential of some guys potentially going under their market value. So I think it all sort of ties in together to where if this offseason sort of goes the way that it's been going for the last few weeks now and guys aren't really signing and they're having some, you know, potential disputes between the agents and the teams here, I think that's where the Phillies could swoop in, get a guy under market value, say, look, we, even if we bring JT back, we're going to increase our payroll a little bit, but maybe they can get off of somebody like Taijuan Walker for, you know, half of his money. Because as I just said, teams need starting pitching. And there are some clubs out there like the Pirates, the Marlins, who are obviously trying to get a little better and compete. Like, the Marlins just signed Fairbanks, which I thought was interesting. The Pirates have made plays for a couple of big guys, but haven't gotten them. I think that if, you know, they wanted to maybe better their starting pitching a little bit and said, look, if you eat half the money on Taijuan Walker, we'll take the other half, I think that's something that's still in the realm of possibility. Like, I don't think that's going to happen with Nick Castellanos just based off of the lack of production and the lack of, you know, production you're going to get in the field as well. But I also think that is a possibility for Taijuan Walker potentially. But we will see. And it ultimately does come down to if these guys end up signing sooner rather than later. But if we get to February and a lot of, you know, these guys, you know, whether it's the guys at the plate, whether it's the pitchers are still on the market, that's where I think they could take advantage similar to the way they did with Kyle Schwarber and Nick Castellanos a few years back. So just think that's all, you know, some interesting stuff right there. But I just have been also very fascinated on just to totally shift gears here because it's kind of quiet this offseason, but very fascinated with how the World Baseball Classic is going to go. And I'm very excited for it. I know it's still a couple of months away here, but as I mentioned in the last pod, Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber both playing for Team USA. Love to see that. But what I also love to see is Christopher Sanchez and what he's done this entire offseason. And Christopher Sanchez, in case you missed it, has said that he will not play in the World Baseball Classic, which I am frankly very excited about. Just the fact that he gets to, after pitching a lot of innings last year, you know, have a normal spring training and be somebody who obviously is going to be at the top of your pitching rotation, but also like just be focused on playing for the Phillies. And while it would have been cool to see him for the Dominican Republic in the World Baseball Classic, I'm a little relieved that he's not pitching in it, because as much as you get excited for your guys to be in it, like the Trey Turner Grand Slam in the last World Baseball Classic was so cool, it's the pitching staff where you sort of get concerned, where you don't want them to get overworked. And I, again, on one hand, as an American baseball fan, I'm very glad that they're getting the top pitchers in the sport to finally pitch for Team USA, with Skeens, with Skubal, with Logan Webb. And who knows, if Zach Wheeler was healthy, maybe he would have pitched in it. But I'm sort of relieved from one perspective that Christopher Sanchez, after pitching a ton of innings last year and giving the Phillies one of the best seasons you could have ever asked for out of, you know, a guy who was traded here and you didn't know what he was going to turn into, and just one of the best stories in recent memory for the Phillies is Christopher Sanchez, that he's focused on this season and becoming the ace of the team, which he probably already is at this point. He came in second Cy Young voting last year, which is pretty incredible, and is focused on this year. If you watch his, or if you follow his Instagram at all and you see any of his social media, it feels like he's working out every day this offseason, which just has me super excited. And he's somebody where his velocities continue to go up and up as his career's gone on. And obviously, when you play that velocity with the changeup that he has, it makes for a pretty special repertoire. But I think that him declining WBC, it's a great thing for the Phillies, it's a great thing for him, and I'm glad that he's focused on the year ahead, because I'm really excited to see the progression of Christopher Sanchez continue. And he is going to be somebody where I could very well see him winning a Cy Young one day. And as much as Wheeler has just come up short in recent years, and I mean, Christopher Sanchez came in second last year to Paul Skeens, it does feel like a potential Cy Young caliber season for Christopher Sanchez coming up, between him having the success he did last year and being able to build off that, not pitching in the WBC this year, getting the rest that he needs, going into spring training, going through a normal spring training, which is, I think, pretty important for a pitcher. Just very excited for Christopher Sanchez. And as cool as it would have been to see him pitch on the world stage, sort of relieved in the sense that he's going to be able to rest up and be able to be as good as he possibly can. But the Phillies do have a couple of other guys that will be the WBC, I know, besides Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber. You're going to have Taijuan Walker pitching for Team Mexico once again. So, hey, if he looks good, maybe that's sort of a debut or a showcase for him, where teams can look at Taijuan in the World Baseball Classic and say, look, he's got some stuff. And he wasn't bad last year. If you sort of take what he did out of the bullpen and did as that swing starter in the 5-6 spot, I think that he is a productive player still, and it could help out a team. And look, 2 years ago, it was a total disaster, and overall the contract's been a disaster. But again, I think a team that needs pitching and wants to get a little creative and doesn't want to give somebody a huge contract, you say, hey, Phillies, eat $10 million of that, and we'll eat the other $10 million, and we'll ride Taijuan Walker for one season here. I think that would be something that would interest a lot of maybe smaller market teams that don't want to sign one of these big pitchers like a Ranger Suarez or a Framber Valdez that's going to cost you, hundreds of millions of dollars here. So I think that's something that's still in play for the team. And I think if they want to shed payroll, it's sort of a creative way to do so. And of course, in terms of shedding payroll, my thing is still going to be Alec Bohm. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I'm in the camp at this point to where I would be very surprised if Alec Bohm is not the starting third baseman on opening day, which is not what people, I feel like, want to hear. It's not really what I want to hear either. But it just feels like if they were to try to get a big bat, trading Alec Bohm is sort of the way to, free up some of that money to feel comfortable with where you're at in terms of payroll next year. And I think if you are going to bring back JT and get a big bat, getting off of Alec Bohm is essential. And I think that's the way. The Taijuan Walker thing is the way. I don't think you're going to be able to get off Casty. They were already able to get off Strom $7.5 million, which I think could free some things up here. But I think they're in a spot right now where, until some of these guys end up signing, it's going to be sort of a waiting game and see what the other teams do and how the market sort of shapes out. Because after those early signings, I mean, things are different now. We are in the year 2026, and we are inching closer to spring training, and things could potentially shake up a little bit here. So interested to see how this all goes. And there are still plenty of teams out there that really haven't done much in free agency, especially compared to the Phillies. Like, the Phillies did bring back Schwarber. They brought back Brad Keller. They traded Strom. So they have made some moves this offseason. And if you're like a Mets fan right now, you're thinking to yourself, what's our next move? You got rid of three guys who have been stalwarts for you over the past, you know, almost half decade to like 7-8 years here with Pete Alonso, Nimmo, and Jeff McNeil. And I mean, they brought in Simeon in the Nimmo trade, and they got Jorge Polanco, who's, you know, had a good year last year. But compared to what teams like the Mets have done, the Yankees haven't done pretty much anything. The Red Sox have been quiet. I know they got Wilson Contreras there, but I still think that based off of what's going on in this offseason so far, there's going to be a lot more activity coming in the next few weeks. But it just depends on when that ends up happening, how close to spring training it is before we can really predict what the Phillies will do for the rest of the offseason. So I think that'll be interesting. I think the WBC will be interesting because, again, if there are trade candidates still out there and a guy like Taiwan's able to showcase some of what he can do and teams are then interested in that, I think that could be something that sparks a trade. But ultimately, we're still just waiting. And this is going to be an offseason where it feels like as we get closer to the start here, it's going to be something where maybe these prices go down a little and then the Phillies swoop in. So my main takeaway from the podcast is don't get too down on, you know, the Phillies. If, you know, things continue to be quiet for a little bit here, as long as things are quiet around the league, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing for the Phillies here. So that's sort of my big picture takeaway in a couple of weeks where there hasn't been much going on Phillies wise here. So I think that ultimately you can take it away as a positive, but again, Dave Dombrowski, I wouldn't mind, you know, a little fun signing here and getting somebody new and being able to, you know, get excited about something else. Because I will say in that one Schwarber, Brad Keller week, I was excited. And even Adolis Garcia gave us something good to talk about. So interested to see how that all plays out in the coming weeks. So thank you as always for tuning in. I hope you had a great holiday and a happy new year. And we'll be looking forward to the Phils in 2026. So thanks as always for tuning in. And for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein. Have a good one, everyone. We'll see you.